Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello, welcome back to the William Hill World Cup Daily Podcast. We're on to the final set of group games in this year's World Cup, and we'll find out the last four teams to go into the last 16. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ben Bramley. How are you, sir?
Hi, Mike. Yes, we'll certainly miss it after tonight, won't it? It thins out after this evening's games into Saturday, of course, where we're going to have two games per day instead of the three or four that we've become accustomed to, and we'll need weaning off that in many respects, won't we?
We will. I don't know what we're going to do on Friday with no football from the World Cup.
Well, I think it'd be a good time to study our anti-post portfolio, and certainly in my case, chuck many of them in the bin and then just rearm, I think, for the battle ahead in the last 16. That's my strategy, I think.
Yeah. Anybody standing out to you so far, Ben? You just mentioned the outright portfolio there. Is there anybody keen to add at the moment?
Yes. There's one person that I would be keen to add and keen to get everybody to add globally. Neymar to win the Golden Boot, to win the Player of the Tournament, to win the best haircut, to win everything that you can get on Neymar, because he's going to come to the fore in this third week, and I think he's going to be the man, and he's going to steer Brazil to the title. I know they've got a tricky draw, but I've been thinking about it, Mark, you know. They're accustomed to playing these South American sides, aren't they? And they have an impeccable record against them at home. I just cannot see for the life of me Chile beating them, even though they've got a very good side in their own right. And I can't see Colombia beating them either in a last eight match, which takes them to the semi-final. So I think the draw's actually worked out okay for Brazil, even though it looks a bit flaky, doesn't it? And Neymar's just been the main man in the tournament for me. I'd make a couple of changes. I'd bring in Fernandinho for Paulinho. I think he's a lot better player. I would bring in Ramirez for the ineffective Hulk as well, and just make sure you've got all those guys running busy in the middle of the park. Give Neymar the ball and let him win the tournament. Is it a view you share, or are you looking elsewhere at the moment?
Well, the betting agrees with well, it's common what I'm thinking. I think Lionel Messi or Neymar for me. If either of those two sides nations win the World Cup, one of those players is going to win the Player of the Tournament.
Very similar for Argentina, isn't it? If you think about all the attacking talent that they've got, Aguero went off injured yesterday, but he hasn't done anything. Higuain's not done anything. Di Maria's prompted pretty well, but he hasn't scored. So it has been down to the main men for both of those teams, and some of the support players have to join in, don't they?
Yeah.
I've got a real concern about Argentina at the back. Rojo, the left back, who I think will get exposed against better teams. You could level that accusation against Brazil as well, of course, but I just think Brazil are better equipped overall to lift this title than Argentina. And they haven't peaked yet in much the same way as Argentina haven't either. And you can understand the logic in thinking that they might step it up in weeks three and four.
Yeah, 5-4 for Messi to be player of the tournament. 5-2 for Neymar, though, so there's a bit of value there.
I think it's a good bet. Yeah. I really do, because everything that he's done, I mean, he scored two goals the other night, didn't he? He's just at the centre of everything. There's a real buzz of excitement when he gets the ball, and I'm excited when he gets the ball. He's a different player in national colours to those Barca colours. Clearly, Messi's outperformed him for the last couple of years at Barca. No question about that. But look at those international stats. They're truly spellbinding, and I expect him to steer his country to glory.
Okay, let's talk about Thursday's games then, Ben. Four more games, the final group games in Group G and Group H. And we'll start with the 5 p.m. kickoffs, and those come from Group G. They've got it the right way around today. USA 9-1, the draw is 19-10, and Germany 8-13 will start in that game, because these two sides would both qualify with a draw. And I think Lee asked Robbie whether he thought that would be the case here.
A draw for both, and they both go through. You never know with USA. They've been such a breath of fresh air.
They've been outstanding from that first game. Then the performance against Portugal. Unsung heroes. Passion. Just going for it, really. And the game against Portugal, I think, was one of the games of the World Cup so far. Clint Dempsey, Bradley, Beckerman. They've got some very, very good players. But I just think against the German side, who just have a lot more quality, really, in terms of how they keep the ball. But you've got to say USA will match them for passion, no doubt about that. I'm just going to go with a narrow German win. Can USA get a goal against that back four of Germany? I don't think they will. I'm going to go with a Germany 2, USA 0.
OK, Okay, 2-0 to Germany. Robbie doesn't think it'll end up as a draw. How do you see it going, Ben?
Well, there's an unholy scrap going on in my head, Mark. My left brain cell and my right brain cell are currently having a little tussle. Based on the fact that I think Germany are a tremendous price to win this game. But there's that question mark around the draw being good enough for both sides. If we look back to the annals of history where you could have potential calves in World Cups, West Germany were part of one in 1982 when they beat Austria 1-0, which sent Algeria out. And probably a more famous one than that was in Euro 2004, where Denmark and Sweden needed a 2-2 draw. It was pretty much back to the exclusion of everything else. And that came off in pretty spectacular fashion. But there are two examples in recent memory where it didn't come off, where a mutual result would have benefited both sides here. Uruguay, Mexico and Spain versus Croatia. So what you've got to get in your own mind here, Mark, is calculate whether that price on Germany equates to value given that background scenario. And I happen to think that it does. If you look at the US side, I know Robbie's just been lauding them there in terms of the players, but I think they've got some really vulnerable areas in their team, particularly when you look at the left-back area, DeMarcus Beasley, who gets forward far too much for my liking, and he doesn't really seem to be in tune with the other three defenders. And a player that I know very well, Jeff Cameron, who made the mistakes for both goals, in effect, against Portugal at the weekend. The first from a slice clearance, the second from being in the wrong position. And I think Germany are just too good for them going forward. It's one of those games where you can imagine if it gets to 60, 70 minutes, you wouldn't be surprised to see the ball being stroked along the back and no concerted effort being made by both teams. But from the get-go, I think Germany might just blow them away. So I'm quite interested here in a Germany half-time, full-time result, because I think they'll start with the momentum and perhaps maintain it. What sort of odds? About 6-4?
11-8,
yeah. I'm still interested at those prices. I was prepared to bet at 6-4. They were my terms of engagement. But 11-8, there's sufficient in that for me to think this is a reasonable bet. It's a fascinating conundrum. You get it every time, don't you, in a World Cup where there's a mutually beneficial result. Does it really happen? If you have a strong view, you get value on your selection. There'll be people that think the draw at, what do you say, 19-10? 19-10 is great value given the situation, and with 20 minutes to go, if it's 1-1 or 2-2, rest assured it will be. But no, I prefer just to swim against the tide here. In a normal game, you'd expect Germany to be nearer the 2-5 mark than the price that they are at the moment, and I think they rate a really good value bet in the half-time full-time market here. 11-8, strong recommendation.
Okay, call me a cynic, Ben, and not for one moment am I suggesting that this is going to be played out as a draw for just because they both need a draw to go through. But it was the Germany game back in 1982 that made it so that the final group games were played at the same time, because they already knew the result needed and they played out the result needed.
Yeah.
Jürgen Klinsmann is the USA coach, who's a German.
Yep.
His former assistant manager is now the head coach of Germany, Joachim Löw. Do you think they've just had a little chat? I mean, there's a picture of them there. Evidence. Drinking coffee together.
Look, they know each other, but the world has changed since 1982. There was still an iron curtain. You know, West Germany, it wasn't Germany, it was West Germany. There was an East German team.
Yeah.
You know, there was a Russian bloc. And there's so much scrutiny on football matches nowadays that you've got to be pretty brazen to get away with it. Now, if you look back to that game in 1982, there was an early goal and they did just pass the ball for 80 minutes. I remember watching it as a nipper and thinking, goodness me. But nowadays, what you can expect in the first 60 minutes at least of this game is a proper game of nogger. And then you kind of forgive them in the last 10 minutes if they stroke it side to side, as long as they give us a spectacle in the first 60 minutes. So I take on board your conspiracy theory. Joachim Löw and Jürgen Klinsmann there do know each other, but I think it's taking it to extremes. And as a punter, it gives you a chance to challenge that kind of theory and make money from it, which is what I'm seeking to do. But while I understand your logic there, I just don't see it personally.
Okay. I was merely playing devil's advocate to
it. No, and you did it well. You did it well. It's a fair question to pose. Of all tonight's games, it's the most fascinating from a betting point of view, because the prices are barbed by the fact that there is that possibility. You know, you could argue that USA are a big price. 10-1, did you say?
9-1.
9-1, You could make an argument for USA at that kind of price. Again, with the draw being artificially short, they'd probably be a couple of points shorter in normal circumstances. But no, I don't think they're as good as people make out. I thought they were, even though it was a very late equaliser for Portugal, I thought that they looked the more threatening of the two throughout. USA scored very early, of course, against Ghana the first minute, but were dominated territorially. They don't keep the ball well enough. They remind me of an England from 4 years ago. They can't keep hold of the ball. They're one of the least adept possession teams in the tournament, I would say, and Germany will take advantage of that. Half-time, full-time, 11-8 my spin on this one.
OK, Germany to win then. Powerful start from Germany and not to be pegged back in Ben's opinion. Robbie going for a 2-0 Germany win as well, so a bit of a unanimous decision there. Moving on to the other game, if it is a Germany win, then Portugal and Ghana will still have something to play. They'll be playing at the same time, but both teams can still go through whichever side wins this. We'll start with Robbie again. We'll get his thoughts and then we'll come to you, Ben.
You've got to think that the way Ghana performed in that first game against the USA, you'd have thought Portugal would have beaten them, but USA was so good against Portugal. Should have won the game, albeit from a fantastic last-minute cross from Ronaldo. World-class cross, got them the draw. I think they'll beat Ghana, but I don't think the swing of scores results will be enough for them. So Portugal to go out, but I think they'll beat Ghana 2-0.
OK, Portugal to win 2-0. If Portugal did win 2-0, then they'd need the USA to get beat 3-0 or worse to progress. Do you think Portugal will just go for this, or Ghana likewise will just absolutely go for this?
Well, Ghana will definitely go for it. Did you see the game on Saturday against Germany?
Yeah.
For me, that was one of the games of the tournament. It was an absolute joy to behold in the second half. I think Portugal will go for it, but there's a question mark about what they've got left in the tank. There's an interesting article in the Racing Post today from Andy Brassell, who makes the observation that he thinks that they're broken after the conditions that they faced in Salvador and Manaus. And when you look at the Portuguese team as well, one of the bets that I've had that's gone sadly awry in this World Cup was Eder to be their top goal scorer. And he's had his chance in both games. But the brutal fact is, he's not a very good centre-forward. He's Kenwyn Jones without the poise,
yeah.
Which isn't really a compliment. And if you think about how the lineup could be tonight, Silvestre Varela came in and scored at the weekend, so he might have cemented down a place. I'd play Nani on one side and Ronaldo through the middle, so he's not going to get the game. So they might just have a little bit more pace and threat there. But they've been disappointing, Portugal. There's no masking that fact. Flip that over to Ghana, who, despite conceding that early goal against the USA, forced the play for the most part in that game and contributed to a superb game against Germany when they were full value for their point. And some of their players have really impressed me, not least this Christian Atsu on the right wing, who's a diminutive player, but goodness, he's got some pace and got some tricks. And I think he could have some joy tonight in that problematic Portuguese left-back area. So he's a guy that I'm looking to do some damage here tonight, Christian Atsu. I can see there being a couple of goals in this game, but again, I'm just leaning towards the draw, because while Portugal haven't fired so far, as long as you've got a player like Cristiano Ronaldo in your ranks, you've always got a chance, haven't you? So while both teams need a decent win, I can just see an entertaining draw in this game, personally. Your view?
Yeah, I think the both teams will go for it. I think overs on the goals would be quite a good play, if I find a price for that while I'm talking. But I think it'll be a draw with plenty of goals. We've seen both these teams draw 2-2 last time, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case again.
Yeah, look at that back four for Portugal. It is vulnerable, isn't it? Pepe's coming back in, of course, but it's just a bit sluggish, isn't it? If you look at the overall ages in the back four for Portugal, there just isn't that dynamism in those areas, and it just needs Ronaldo to prompt the entire team, in essence. You see something different from Ghana. They really play for each other. When you see the goals that they score and the players celebrate with such delight, normally led by Asamoah Gyan and his box of celebratory tricks, which he uncorked at Chelsea, as you may remember, yes, with Bolo Zenden. It's always good to see a Ghanaian celebration. I think we're going to see one or two more tonight as well. So I'm going to go for Christian Atsu here as a goal scorer, Mark. I think he'd be around about the 12-1 chance in the first goal scorer market, and 5-1 any time. Are we talking those kind of prices here?
12-1 is correct for first and last. 7-2 any time.
Oh, 7-2 any time. Well, let's go for something rather fanciful on this one. I'm going to go for another 2-2 draw, and our friend Christian Atsu to get the first goal, which I think will be quite a working man's price. We like to have a little spin on these scorecasts at decent odds, so we'll give that one a whirl. 2-2, looks good. Both teams vulnerable at the back. Ghana a joy to watch. It'd be a shame to see them go out of the tournament at this stage, because I do actually think they are a better team than USA, a very personal view. So that's what we'll go with.
Atsu to score first in a 2-2 draw is 80-1.
80-1. Yeah, let's give that a spin. 80-1, Atsu, 2-2. Yeah, you can see that. The Ayew brothers have been threatening throughout this tournament. Gian, who's got such a great international goal scoring record, hasn't he? 40-81. There was question marks over whether he would thrive in this tournament, given that he's playing in the UAE nowadays. And obviously the standard isn't that exacting, but he's looked the player that he was at his peak at Sunderland. So Ghana have definitely got goals in them. A Ronaldo-led Portugal, you can't question that they've got goals in them. Two apiece. Let's give that a whirl.
Okay, two apiece. Christian Atsu to score in a draw as well without putting the correct score on it. And that's for him to score any time. He's 18-1. So
I don't mind that.
Yeah, just for him to be on the score sheet in a draw.
Yeah, that's sporting. Obviously, you're ruling 0-0 out the equation. 1-1, 2-2, 3-3. But they're all runners, aren't they? It's not as if you've got a stodgy game in which you're expecting both teams to lock it up. So, yeah, I think there's a little chance of that. An 18-1 sporting play.
Okay, and overs on the goals, just to get the prices for that. Over 2.5 is 1-2. Over 3.5 is 11-8. And if you fancy it to be crazy, over 4.5 is 100-30. But
they're pretty short, aren't they?
Yeah,
they've been very cautious around those prices. That's probably why I'd like to take a chance on a more fanciful correct score mark, because, you know, if you think about those sort of prices, if you compare that to the Algeria versus South Korea game on Sunday night, for example, over 4.5 was 10-1, and over 5.5 was 25-1. And I know there's not a fair measurable here, because you had two fairly stoic defending sides there, not known for their attacking prowess, but they turn that around. But it's just as a measurement against the current prices for this game, and you think they're a little short, aren't they? So let's go for a correct score.
Okay, 2-2, 11-1 is the correct score price there as well. Let's move on from this group then. If the predictions are correct, it will be USA and Germany that go through anyway. So they don't need to play out a draw if this game ends up a draw.
Yeah, I think that's what happened in the Uruguay versus Mexico game in 2010, wasn't it? Uruguay scored early with Suarez, and Mexico progressed anyway as they finished above for South Africa on goal difference. So it can happen that way, can't we? We talk about conspiracy theories, and what can happen is if you have a genuine game of football, you still end up with the positive result for the guys that have played it the right way. So let's see if that happens.
Okay, moving on to Group H then, the final games there. We'll start with South Korea against Belgium. South Korea currently on 1 point down at the bottom of their group. Belgium safely through at the top of the group with 6 points. We'll start with you this time, Ben. Do you think Belgium, with nothing to play for here, will be susceptible to a South Korean throwing the kitchen sink?
Not really. I mean, if I'm honest with you, Matt, I think this group has been the Pony Trekkers convention. It's the group that I haven't enjoyed watching as much as the others, with the exception of that Algeria 4-2 game over South Korea. It's been rather dull. I think Belgium have been disappointing on the whole. They had to come from behind to beat Algeria. Mm-hmm. Russia have played typical Capello football and tried to lock and nick everything, which has been anti the World Cup philosophy for most of the teams this year. And I found it fairly dull fare in this group, if I'm honest, but that's on a comparative basis. You can't really see South Korea having the tools here to disarm Belgium. But they do have a goal in themselves, but they've proven so vulnerable at the back. Again, I think there's going to be goals in this game. Belgium could do with Lukaku hitting form, couldn't he, if he's selected? Because there's people just knocking on his door trying to get in. Origi, who scored in the last game, is pressing for a start as well. So I would be going for goals in this game. I do think that South Korea will get involved too. And again, I might just go for something like a 3-2 reverse scorecast here on the both teams to win 3-2, something like that. I do think South Korea have got a few goals in them. Belgium already qualified. Yeah, I can see that. I think there'll be goals.
Okay, 3-2 to Korea is 40-1, and 3-2 to Belgium is 25-1, so perfectly good prices to split your stakes there. Let's talk about a few players here, Ben, because Eden Hazard, obviously well-known from Chelsea, arguably being their best player, or probably the best player in the Premier League at times last season. He really turned it on in the last 10 minutes or so in the last game for Belgium, and he was the difference, really, in that last 10 minutes. Do you see him getting involved here? I mean, he's yet to score, isn't he, in this World Cup?
He is yet to score. And again, that first game, it seems like Belgium needs something to happen just to sting them into action. They're not playing on the front foot. No. Now, I don't know whether that's because they're playing in what would be termed a relatively negative group. Algeria changed their philosophy, really, for the second game and played five attack-minded players where they were content to sit back against Belgium in the foot. Well, not sit back. They were were part of the game, but I think Belgium might need an all-on slugfest against a team like Argentina, where it'll be a battle of the best offences for them to show their best. I still think they'll come up short. And Hazard himself, he's a superb player. He's the best balanced player in the Premier League for me, apart from Luis Suarez, exceptional with the ball at his feet. But we do need to see a little bit more from him. We've seen players at this World Cup come to the party for every single team, the main players. But with Belgium, they simply haven't. For a team that are in the top 6-8 of the betting, we've seen very little from Lukaku. We've seen very little from Hazard. And it's been the supplementary players, really, that have done the damage. So he needs a good game, doesn't he? I don't think he's really shown enough, Mark, in my own view, to justify the kind of quotes that he's getting in goalscorer markets at the moment. He needs to step up his game.
Yeah. Do you think so you don't think he'll get on the score sheet tonight, or do you think tonight will be the night you step? I mean, South Korea, like you say, vulnerable at the back.
Look, I'm keen to see what the Belgian lineup is here. Kevin De Bruyne, who's a player who could do with a goal himself. Dries Mertens pushing for a start in this game as well. Look, they've locked it up. The thing is, recording this at the time we are in the morning, when it's a 9 o'clock kickoff with no confirmed lineups, with a team that's qualified, you could get a wholesale change, couldn't you? I'd be keen to see Kevin Morales get a game, because he's a player that I rate very highly from Everton. I think he's an excellent player. You've got the likes of Chadli pushing for a start as well. So it's very difficult to identify the Belgian scorers in this makeup at the moment, I would say. If I was having a punt right now, I'd be looking at Kevin De Bruyne and Dries Mertens as potential goal scorers.
OK, Dries Mertens is 12-5 to score any time, 8-1 first or last. And who was the other one, sorry?
Kevin De Bruyne,
8-1 first or last, 12-5 any time as well.
Yeah, same kind of prices. Again, I'd just keep my powder dry on that one until the team lineups come through, particularly with the any time angle, but I'd just be playing the goals here. Irrespective of who dons the shirts, I think we're going to get goals in this game. South Korea don't have a defence to speak of, so they have to come forward. It should encourage Belgium to show a little bit more than they've shown so far this tournament in terms of their own attacking prowess, and that's why I'm keen on these fanciful scores. 3-2 either way is my play here.
Okay, if you don't want to put the correct score on it, over 3.5 goals is 2-1. Over 4.5, which would land in a 3-2 result, is 9-2. Then again, you're best splitting your stakes, aren't you?
What we're seeing here, though, Mark, again, is because it's not a dead rubber, is it? But Belgium, because they've already qualified, you tend to find that the prices for the third game in a group series, your goal expectation goes up. So you're paying a bit of a premium to get with these kind of prices. That's why I'd rather throw one dart at a more fanciful price, or two darts in this instance, and have a pop at that. That'd be my strategy.
OK. Let's see who Robbie likes for South Korea against Belgium.
I think South Korea will get beat against the Belgium side, who two wins, got some very, very good attacking players, Mertens, Hazard. You know, the big question is, Lukaku hasn't really performed this tournament yet. Fellaini, you know, he's had an impact in games, but I've got to say, no, defensively as well, South Korea, I don't think they'll score, not against the back four with Kompany in it. So I'm going to go with it, Belgium to nil, Belgium to win the game 2-0, so Belgium to start the group, Russia in second.
OK, so Robbie disagreeing slightly. He thinks Belgium will win, but he can't see the Koreans on the score sheet.
He does make the point there about Lukaku struggling in terms of his form. Just an additional point is that Belgium have played both of their games at 1 p.m. local time so far, and they get a later game this time, which might be of benefit to them. You know, the a North European side, which should benefit from the later start time, you would imagine. But that's to be confirmed. And Robbie does agree with us there. These star players need to bring a bit more. Certainly as they go on in the tournament, they're going to need to show more to some of these top players, aren't they?
They are. We'll find out there then. Robbie's going for Belgium. Ben's going for a speculative one on the goals, 3-2 either way. And we'll move on to the final game of the group stages, Algeria against Russia, also at 9 p.m. Algeria 5-2, draw 12-5, Russia 11-10. The winner of this is likely to go through with Belgium. And who'd have thought Algeria would have been in the running here, Ben?
Well, a few people would. There's a few shrewdies on Twitter that tipped up Algeria to be the top African team. And they've got a method, Mark, haven't they? They all play for each other. They've got decent players in the middle of the park. Fagouli has brought his Valencia form to the party here. Slimani looks useful up front and is proving that international goal-scoring record of 1-2 is no fluke. But more worrying in this game, from my point of view, is Russia have just looked bereft of ideas. This is a team that are building towards hosting hosting the 2018 rather World Cup. But they've got a team that's largely based on ageing players. You know, you look at the two centre-backs, Berezutsky and Ignatovic. They're both 34, 31. I think they had seven players, 28 or more, in the last game. And there just doesn't seem to be any vibrancy in the side. Unsurprising when you consider that Fabio Capello is the boss. I think the prices are the wrong way around here. I wouldn't make Algeria favourites, of course, but when you look at the actual match markets, Algeria outright to win, what price are they?
5-2.
That's a big price, isn't it? They won 4-2 against South Korea and showed a lot of attacking intent. I wouldn't be keen on backing the Russians here at all. I would rather back the Algerians, draw no bet, than get involved with the Russians at all. Have you seen much of the Russians? Have you been impressed? Or?
Yeah, I've watched the games and I'm anything but impressed. I can't understand where Fabio Capello's logic is playing only teams from the Russian league, and I know he's trying to develop the squad for Euro 2018, but he's not got many youth players in there. He's playing an ageing squad, as you've said. Yeah. He's not playing Kerzhikov, who's been there arguably their main threat. He's not playing Zhagoev, who fits the bill being a young 23-year-old attacking player.
Yeah,
I can't understand his team selection sometimes. I just don't understand.
Well, we've been accustomed to being bewildered by that, haven't we? If you go back 4 years, no question. And again, a quote from the Racing Post is that Russian football is stuck in a time warp and it'll have to come out of it pretty quickly for the next 4 years. I would tend to agree with you. Alexander Kokorin, I think he's the Dynamo Moscow striker, has made little impact in this tournament. He's been preferred ahead of Kerzhikov so far this tournament, but he hasn't really done a great deal. There's nothing in the midfield there, is there? The reason why I want to play draw no bet in this game is, it's a similar scenario whereby Algeria will be content with a point in all likelihood towards the end of the game. And I'm not sure this Russian team will have the tools to break them down. So while Algeria are second favourites in the game, I'd want that safety of the draw no bet on my side, as I think that's a really big runner in this game. But Algeria 5-2, you're certainly tempting me with those sort of prices.
Yeah, I would. I'd be leaning towards Algeria or the draw here. I was just looking while you were talking, flicking down the prices for total Russia goals, because I just don't think there's that much of a threat in their squad. But the prices aren't brilliant. Over and under 1.5 goals. Russia to score under 1.5 goals is 4-6. So that's if they score none or one. And total Russia goals, none is 13-5. One's 8-5. But the problem is Algeria aren't really solid at the back either.
Well, they're not, no. But they could play that way. Their philosophy changed in Game 2, where they played more attack-minded players and went for the throat of South Korea. Now, we know the psychology of football, and given Algeria's position now, it may bring a more cautious approach in this game, given their position in the group, because to get through here would be a huge achievement, you know? Mm. They'd be looking at Germany in all likelihood in the last 16, which would be a mighty tough assignment, but to get to the last 16 would be an incredible effort. So you could imagine them becoming more cautious towards the end of the game. Do Russia have the tools to break them down? Under 1.5, 4-6. I'm just pondering that one as we speak. I'm not sure I would get involved in that market. It's a tough one. I think the value just lies with the outright here. Let's keep it simple. 5-2 Algeria to win, but a better bet, in my mind, is Algeria draw no bet in this game.
OK, leaning towards Algeria then. I'll find the price on Algeria draw no bet. And while I do, let's listen to Robbie.
We've got to say the Russians have been so, so poor this tournament. They've got a performance in them under Capello, and I think this could be the one. Algeria, you know, fantastic against South Korea, but I'm just going to go with the Capello factor in the final game for Russia, Russia to win, and I think they might just sneak through in that second place.
Oh, spanner in the works there from Robbie. He's going for Russia to sneak through. Algeria draw no bet, by the way, is 6-4. I did find that price while we were listening to Robbie.
Well, I would challenge Robbie there in so much as the Capello factor. He's doing that as a positive. The Capello factor for the last 4 years in international football has been anything but, hasn't it? I know Russia came through qualifying, but I just don't see that as being a positive at all. He doesn't bring anything to the party. While the tournament has been more openly attacking than any since black and white television, Russia's campaign seems to have been one of damage limitation. Again, I'm taking a quote from Ian Wilkerson there. He doesn't seem capable of changing his footballing philosophy. not even for a third game crapshoot against Algeria. So I don't see that. No, that's not a positive for my way of thinking.
Okay, so you're going Algeria. We'll take Robbie on this occasion.
6-4 draw, no bet, is a decent price. This Russian team doesn't have the tools. Even the FIFA rankings, you know, Algeria 22, Russia 19. I know we don't take these literally all the time, but there isn't a chasm between these teams. And what we've seen on this tournament tells us that Algeria are a better team at the moment.
Yeah. I don't mind the look of the headline offer as well, by the way, if you want a bit of a juicy one. It's not that juicy, I suppose, but Islam Slimani to score in Algeria to win. He did look quite a threat for them in their last game.
What price 13, is that?
13-2. Which,
yeah, it's decent. I mean, he opened the scoring, didn't he, in the game against South Korea. And he does have that good international goal scoring record. If you look at all the Algerian players, the potential starters here, Slimani is 11 from 22 internationally. Sudani is 11 from 23, but he's likely to be on the bench. And a lot of the midfield and support players, 6 in 21, 1 in 7, 9 in 2 in 9, 1 in 28, 1 in 5. So he is the main striker. So by far the most likely, if you fancy Algeria, you've got to have him on side. But just be mindful of the fact that Sofyan Feghouli was the guy that struck away the penalty against Belgium in the first game. He's the prompter from midfield, and he'll be the guy that takes all the fancy stuff either in the box or on the edge of the box. So as a goal scorer, I'd probably rather be with Feghouli for that reason alone.
3-1 anytime. 9-1 last off, 14-1 first.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a curious price in itself, isn't it? 9-1 last and 14-1 first. I'm just cogitating that and try and work out why that would be the case. I'd certainly have a little couple of quid on 14s there as the penalty taker. And 3-1 anytime, sporting wager as well. But yeah, you can see why that headline offer would hold appeal to some people. I'd certainly prefer that to the Russian headline offer anyway.
Yeah, which is Cochrane to score and Russia to win. At 100-30, he's been starting up front, hasn't he? But
he has
not really done much. But
no, he hasn't. He's missed a couple of chances as well. You know, when we talk about the state of Russian football, at least he's young enough with the scope to improve at the age of 23. But you know, Kurzakov's 31. But if he's the future of Russian striking, then in 2018, I don't think the host nation will be winning or going very far there.
No, they need to change what they're doing anyway, because it's not been very impressive so far. So we're siding with the exciting Algerians in that final game. Best bet today, Ben?
Best bet today, I'm going right back to the beginning of our preview. The group whereby the prices are framed around the possibility of a draw and a mutually beneficial result between USA and Germany. I'm going to take the Germans to come gunning out of the blocks here in this game and to have a half-time lead and sustain it to full-time, and I'd make that the bet of the day. Germany, half-time, full-time, 11-8 is my wager.
Okay, good stuff, Ben. Thank you very much. Enjoy it today.
Kemich perfecto.
Thanks, Ben. So there you go, the thoughts of Ben Bramley on today's World Cup matches. You'll hear them on In Play Radio. Do tune in for all of that this evening. Good luck if you're having a bet, and enjoy today's action. We'll be back tomorrow with the next edition of the World Cup Daily Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.